At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Savage Saturdays here on the Drinking Bros podcast. I'm your host, Derek White. Joining me, as always,
It's Owen.
We just wanted to take a second to let you know that today's episode of Savage Saturday is sponsored by GhostBed. GhostBed's been a loyal sponsor of the Drinking Bros podcast for over 4 years. Everybody loves GhostBed. I love GhostBed. I'm the proud owner of two GhostBed mattresses and two pillows. And right now, if you buy a mattress from GhostBed, you get two free pillows. And if you go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros, you can save 25%. That's ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. Grab yourself a mattress, two free pillows, get some good sleep. Enjoy the show. We're back.
How's it going?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Yeah. Part
how
two.
How are you, Stacey?
Good. Thanks for asking, Owen.
You're welcome.
he's trying. You know what he's doing? He's trying real hard to get that fucking title of co-host.
That's it.
Yeah.
Well, he asked me how I was doing.
So I want to make our guests feel welcome.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like job of a co-host and the job of an almost co-host.
Another gift I got recently from Stacey, was this also Father's Day?
That was Father's Day, yes.
Yeah, so I got this knife because I kept playing with a knife on the fucking podcast.
Yeah.
She just thought it would be more convenient for me to do like this.
It's safer for Owen's face to have it like bound
to
your hand.
I'm all about safety.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Until I start spinning it like a revolver. Yeah. Like, we'll get there once I get more comfortable.
I'm sitting directly across from you, but good thing there's cameras and microphones.
I'm not trying to make a statement. Like, I'm a cool guy here, but I point with shit, you know? And I don't know. But Stacey got me this new knife. Where'd you get this?
The tactical store down the street.
Where's the is it Frontier?
Yeah, Frontier.
Oh, no shit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I went inside. I had to wait outside because, you know, of all the rules these days, and you can only have so many people. I waited outside in the 110-degree heat for forever. Well, maybe it was like 5 minutes, but it felt like forever.
Felt like at least an hour.
Yeah. And so I was doing something with you, and I was trying to, like, keep it a secret that I was just standing outside for effing ever. And sweating, and I can't remember what it was. I don't remember. Anyways, I was trying not to show you that I was standing outside and sweating.
Okay.
I can't remember what it was. Anyway.
Do they have a range in there?
Not that I saw. I think the store is just like a storefront.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe they do.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We need some new fucking home defense guns around here.
Yeah.
That's something we've really lacked. Or I used to be really big into just fucking defense, you know? But one of my sort of move on measures, you know, it's difficult to move on post-military for everybody. But, you know, in my case, and people like me, it was like wounded in combat, didn't want to get out of the military. It's difficult to move on. So like when I first got out or, you know, after I got shot, I was like, I always had a massive first aid kit in my car. Always carried a knife.
Yeah.
Had a fucking pistol.
Yep.
You know? And just as like trying to move on with my life, I'd sort of abandoned a lot of these things. But it's at the point now, like we have guns here, but I think we need a shotgun and
after
a rifle.
After work yesterday, I went to the BX and I walked past the little like armory section and I was like, oh, this is a good place to get it because probably no taxes, right?
Oh, yeah, or no tax.
Yeah, so.
And I can get my Traeger there.
You can get your Traeger
at
the BX.
Working on it.
Exactly. So we're looking for AFEs.
Getting there. Getting ready mentally.
Feeling it?
To drop that.
Feeling ready.
That amount of money.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
I can't wait. We're going to be eating
good. We're
going to
be eating good, Stacey.
I can wait. I can wait.
Dang.
I can wait. Yeah. last week we talked about recovery. We started talking about recovery. There's so much to talk about.
Brushed the wave tops.
Yeah. We, if you haven't listened, go back. Episode 21. We talked about what I think is the most important part of recovery is like how you approach your training. Because you're setting yourself up for success or failure right there.
Yep.
You know, so.
You know, actually, that's true, too, because your recovery is based off of your training,
your output,
too.
Yeah.
Right. So
you can be like smart about that or fucking dumb. Yeah.
You are what I would consider an elite athlete.
Thanks, babe.
So, like, your recovery is going to take longer, and it's going to look different than mine, who's just trying to be an active mom. So I'm not going to be, like, taking as many naps as Derek, although I would like that.
Okay. How often do I nap anymore?
So that's what I wanted to talk about.
That's what I want
to talk about. You should be napping.
Yeah. And guess what we're doing instead?
Oh, you kind of switched it there.
So instead of
I got a degree in psychology.
Instead of, hey, I dropped out from my major in psychology. Okay.
Oh, same. You're smarter.
Yeah, no. Yeah, that's ironic, right? We're doing this podcast at a time where I could or should be napping.
Mm-hmm.
Could be.
But we're teaching people that I've always believed in naps, and I can nap anywhere, but life is just the changes in our lives, right? So like my recovery.
So your competition is in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're needing to get serious here.
But I have all these new responsibilities too.
It's
really fucking, so I'm right there with the people who are struggling. And so my recovery used to, my whole life for up until maybe a year ago, revolved around training and recovery. Mm-hmm. It was about kind of like being an amputee. I used to only spend 6 to 8 hours a day wearing my leg. It's like if I wasn't at training and I didn't have to go somewhere, I would be at home resting my stump.
Yeah.
Letting the skin breathe and things like that. But having twins, now I'm honestly in my leg now, like 14 to 16 hours a day.
Yeah, I was thinking about that because he has the wheelchair in the garage and
we haven't used it in forever.
Oh, at least a year. Yeah, I remember pushing the stroller.
I don't want her doing everything.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
It depends. Like as we get closer to your competition, I think we do need to think about using the wheelchair more.
Well, I think 1 August, it's like shut down.
Right after Wyoming.
August 29th is my competition.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's the weird thing. And this is a new thing I'm learning. And that's in this training cycle. It's forcing me to grow as far as. I have to be really proactive all the time because I'm not just training full time, trying to do as best as I can recovery wise. But we have all these new business
ventures
and we're and still kids. Trying to enjoy and our, yeah, and all these things, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's like, but yeah, so I wonder sometimes, so just to make sure like the stage is set, context is clear. I consider myself a professional athlete.
Yeah.
Yep.
I hold a belt. I'm a champion, but it's not world renowned or anything like that. Like the being an adaptive athlete is a really weird thing. I put the same amount of time and effort and care as like Matt Fraser, fucking Conor McGregor, things like that. And I wonder sometimes, are they shutting down and spending when they're in prep, do they, you know, isolate and it's just training focused, or do they have all these distractions? I have so many fucking distractions now.
They talk about their, like they go to camps. Mm-hmm. Like I know with MMA fighters, at least like they have their training camp and like,
oh right.
Like Tito Ortiz used to go to his training camp. Connor used to be up in the mountains
where it's soul
Connor
focused
comes over here.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, I love that life. I love that. That's why
they'll go at altitude. They'll go train at altitude for a specific amount of time leading up to it.
But they also have people like Sammy. She does all of the cooking, as far as I understand. You know, and like you're doing your own cooking. Team.
And people that work or a big thing for them, if like their competition, Connor, you know, they win a competition, that's their annual salary.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You know,
from there's which, no
yeah, fucking, Matt doesn't have another job.
Right.
Like, that's his job.
It, well, and he has endorsements and things like that that of come course, along with it, but there's sure. no prize. And this isn't,
no, that's
this
his,
isn't me complaining, but yeah. there's nothing like that yeah. for us.
Well, it's a niche. It's,
right.
I mean, like the adaptive athlete part's like exactly. a niche
right.
of but what's at, kind right. of already kind of a niche.
The 1% yeah. of 1%.
But or like, look at yeah. like people watch the Olympics. Special Olympics is a thing, but nobody cares. I'm not, yeah, not nobody, but it's just, and so it's like, men's World Cup versus women's World Cup. And the right. women are like, we demand to be paid equally to men. It's oh like God. The fucking, the audience isn't there. The audience yeah. isn't there for adaptive athletes. So it's, but it's this weird thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to fucking balance it out, and we're making changes in the business life to structure things. My goal is to be able to, like, 3 months a year. I love that soul focus life. I love it. Don't have it right now. And that's okay. We're working towards
maybe
that.
Maybe won't ever have it with kids now.
Yeah, dude.
But that's different. I can do family things.
Okay.
But it's just like if my full-time job is competitive athlete and my full-time job is owner of 5 different businesses, that's a lot of full-time jobs.
A lot of full-time
jobs. Where do you fucking put your focus, you know?
Yeah.
I think I'm doing all right.
Clearly.
But I think 1 August I would really like to shut down my activity on the businesses. And just like really, because it's a selfish thing. I want to enjoy this training cycle, you know, and the competition. This is the one-on-one duel for, it's a title defense.
The title defense.
It's a title defense. I'm the above knee champion.
Yep.
In Rush Club or whatever they call themselves now. They had to change their name.
Oh, did they?
I'll figure it out. But I haven't focused on that. It doesn't matter to me. And actually, I haven't told you this yet.
Oh,
location God. Might change.
Oh, cool. Is it like Hawaii or something?
Anaheim?
Ooh, I'll go to Guam.
Do you have any interest in going to Anaheim?
I do not have an interest in going to
Nope.
What?
Anaheim?
California?
California?
Yeah, but isn't it by the coast? I mean, everything is what you make of it.
All Anaheim. Of California is by the coast, yeah. right? I guess.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. Well, it might,
I like San
might.
Diego.
St. Yeah. George. St. George was way cooler than Anaheim.
Why are they changing it? Just, I feel like California is more locked down, you know, than Utah is.
I'd imagine
it?
They'd have to pay more taxes on having the stuff there.
There's a, it's, you know.
California's wacko right now.
Yeah.
Wacko.
But anyways, it might like change for administrative reasons. You know wacko. How you know how it goes. But it doesn't matter. All that shit doesn't matter to me. I got a competition. And so, yeah.
Your location should matter to you because that's more sea level versus, I think St. George was a little more elevated. But anyway.
Yeah. Either way, well, like Marcus is flying from fucking Florida. So I heard like advantage Derek already. You know? Yeah. So, I wanted to talk about sleep. You got any notes about sleep?
I don't.
Yeah. Okay. So sleep. Sleep is a fucking huge, it's fucking important, and it's weird because in our culture it's, you know, like it's cool to be like fucking hustle day and night, work hard, never sleep, never, you know, if you're not working on your goals, you're not working on your goals. There's like, sleep isn't seen as this active thing you do to benefit yourself. It seems like this necessary thing that you got to fucking, or this comfort or something like that.
Some people look at like, that's where they're able to sacrifice is the sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like it's, yeah. Like or, it's
and
a
sleep
luxury,
is also,
like
sleep is also really hard. So I'm fucking great at sleeping and I'm protective of my sleep and I'm proactive about my sleep. But these are all things I learned in treatment in like 2010 and 11. Like I was in this 30-day inpatient program, psychiatric program.
Yep.
And one of their big things was teaching us how to sleep. And I'm going to share things I do, things I've learned, areas I can get better. But just the mindset and the approach behind sleep is weird.
The only note I truly have on sleep is, so I referenced that book last week that Christy Ashwanden wrote. And so she has done tons of research on what could work for recovery and things like that. She said the only magic bullet is sleep. That's it. She said you can use all these tools, all this other stuff, cryotherapy, heat, you know, infrared saunas, but sure, the only research that has, seems to be working is
better sleep.
Yeah, so
sleep's when you repair yourself. So,
yep. So sleep is when mostly we release growth hormone, and that's fucking. Yes. I mean, that's like you're literally active. Sleep is an active thing that you can do and give a shit about and get better at.
Yeah.
So it's better for building muscle. It's better for endurance. It's better for fat burning.
Better for your brain.
Yeah. Like if we're talking about fitness and our body and our performance, how we look, how we perform, sleep is fucking. And it's like, do you get 6 hours? Do you get eight hours? Somewhere in there. I think I get 6 or 7 hours. I'd say I average 7 hours of sleep. You know, I'll sleep from like 11 to 6. I really like getting up at 5.
Yeah.
But I like getting up and going.
Yeah.
Derek gets up and I'm out of the house in 30 minutes.
I get it. Yeah, I do that.
With the kids, that changes things, you know? Childcare here starts at 7. So,
we rotate our morning workouts where Talia will wake up early. She rolls out the house immediately. And when she's coming back in, I'm up and then I go do my run after that. And
smart.
Yeah, it's different. So actually, like I see some, it's funny, man. Watching some dudes on the internet who don't have kids try to tell us how to live our morning with kids. And they're like, oh, my morning routine is I get up and do this and do this and do this and you should do this. I'm like, oh yeah, my morning routine is I change fucking shitty diapers.
Yeah.
I fucking poop. Try to entertain my kids poop. A while. Yeah, poop. Jack started telling us when he poops.
Nice.
He just says poop.
They're not even 18 poop. Months yet.
It's a big deal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I actually realized I need to start like having them watch me pee more.
That's how they learn.
That's how
it's a weird thing to be like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, you kind of have to see this in order to like, so, okay, here's
how
it
they're grabbing their penis now a lot more.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was just looking, like, these are all things I know, or it makes sense. Or like some of, it's literally one of the necessary, when we're talking about recovery, it's like giving our body the things we actually need. Sleep is a need. You will fucking rot and fucking die without it.
I mean, if you go back and look in time, look, did cavemen have foam rollers and cryotherapy or float tanks? Like, I don't think
so. Everybody's like, want to be a lion. I was like, you know what lions do during the day? Fucking rest, motherfucker.
Yeah.
They sleep at night and rest during the day. And when it's time to hunt, they fucking get their hunt on.
Ooh,
you know?
That goes with nutrition. So I forget who it was, but he was on the Joe Rogan podcast. Love Joe Rogan. And he said, we are not cows grazing all day as far as nutrition goes. We are lions.
We have this fucking go lifestyle that is not conducive with our fucking species. But so I looked up a couple, these are things we know, but you know, like just perusing around the internet for some bullet points, you know, just to, you know, it says, I found this thing's like many studies have tested the effects of sleep deprivation on athletic performance. Effects include slower muscle recovery, changes in mood, increased level of stress hormones, including cortisol. Cortisol is your fucking enemy when you're trying to lose fat.
Yeah.
You know, if your stress is high, your cortisol is high, it makes it harder for you to lose fat. That's why like food philosophy tells you how to calm down.
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm.
Stress hormone. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So like if you're
cortisol,
stressed.
Cortisol is good. We want cortisol because it keeps us heightened. It's our fight or flight response type shit, you know, but too much of it
is bad.
It's very bad. Yeah.
Like is the zebra coming to get you?
Yep. So this is the double whammy in recovery, sleep deprivation, decreased glycogen synthesis. So you need that fucking, that's what ignition does is replenishes those glycogen stores for recovery.
Yep.
You got less of that. It's just, you know, your endurance suffers. And here's an interesting one. Effects of sleep deprivation, increased ratings of perceived exertion. So you actually feel like you're working harder.
You oh, think, I felt that before.
Yeah, you think weird. You're doing 90%, but you're actually at 60.
Yeah. Or
50. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're more tired. And you know, so you're like, yeah. Oh, I've been working for 30 mm-hmm. minutes, and you look at the clock and it's been
and,
6.
And what does that do? It starts that negative feedback loop.
Yeah.
You know? Where, yeah, where it's like totally you start, you're just like, you're just like, why do I suck? Fuck, I suck. Shit, I suck. Fuck, I suck.
I'm dude. Done. Mm-hmm. I quit.
Yeah. That, and then yeah. you're just like beating your shit up.
That was my because, run this morning.
Really?
Oh. Yeah. I
got caught in a fucking negative feedback loop, huh? That's one of the best things anybody can ever, like, if you can recognize when you're stuck in a bullshit mind game, negative feedback loop, that's when I'm just like, whoop.
Yep.
Step away from my brain.
Dude, I wasn't looking at my time and I was like, oh man, I'm nailing it today. Like mm-hmm. I felt like I was faster. I felt like everything was going good. And I got to my mile and I looked and I was just like, what the fuck happened? Mm-hmm. That's 20 seconds slower than the last one.
Yeah. So sleep in our culture, it's just the same thing with cooking food. It's almost like not a good use of time, but it is a fucking one of the best uses of time.
Yeah.
Two of the best uses of time, cooking your food, eating, you know, cooking your healthy home fucking food
whole
and sleeping,
yeah.
sleeping. So I have you go down. I had to learn. I have a routine just like everything I do. I've really had to like Derek proof my existence, you know, there, so my bedtime routine starts, if everything's going normal, it starts at 8 o'clock. And I start my routine with the intent and goal of being asleep by 10 to 10:30. That's when I want to go to sleep.
That's okay, way night. Late for me.
Yeah.
So I'm in bed.
I know.
Oh, sorry. <yeah. laughs>
But I'm the person who can stay up till 3 a.m. and then get up at 5 and I can just run on fumes and I have to protect,
you're like Jocko.
I have to protect myself from that.
Yeah. I don't
it's
want
not
to
good
do
for
that.
Me. And it's not it that like in it's not conducive to my goals. So I have to be active and protective of my sleep. So that, and that's kind of what I've learned in treatment, you know? And so here's some funny tips is, do you put much time or thought or effort into how you sleep?
No. Like, what do you mean how I sleep?
Like pillows, blankets.
It's changed. I mean, over the last 2-3 years because of pregnancy and like now figuring out. Yeah. I mean, it depends.
Yeah. So one of the cool things I learned in treatment and I've used it ever since is, and it seems like, so when we were in the army, it's just like, shut the fuck up, go to fucking sleep anywhere. All right, cool. I can do that. I can live that life if I have to. But if I'm trying to be good at sleeping, it's all right to incorporate some comforts. So one of the cool things I learned that I fucking do every, like, I don't let my joints touch. So I'm a side sleeper. I sleep on my side. And obviously being an amputee, it's really weird. I needed pillows between my legs and I need like hugger pillows. So my arms, I don't.
It's like my pregnancy pillow.
Yeah. The position I sleep in fucking matters. If I'm doing like this, I'm cramped up and tense and tight and things like that. But I put some pillows in between and it opens me up. Mm-hmm. And now I'm just like comfortable. And so.
What do you
need a fucking extra king bed or something.
So, like a shack bed.
We share when my arm hangs over the bed, it like pulls my fucking bicep and my shit is tight and I hate it.
There's other, did you know there's other king beds?
Mm-hmm.
I've heard.
So I only thought it was like
there's
king
like
bed
family
and
size
California king, but then there's like Alaska king and then there's like 6 other ones.
Alaska must be bigger.
It's bigger.
Ooh.
Yeah. They're all bigger. They're gigantic.
Maybe we need, does Ghost Bed have one of those? No, maybe they can make us a custom bed. It's just like an arm. So it's like a regular shaped bed, but then a place for my arm.
But when I was pregnant too, they encouraged us to sleep on our left side because that's where your heart sits. So it increases your blood flow if you're sleeping on your left side and that's the part that's down, I guess. I don't know how that would increase blood flow, but that's what they told me to do. Mm-hmm. But I never thought about how I sleep.
Yeah.
But Dr. Rhonda Patrick, who I love, talks about lighting before you sleep too. So I think she says like 5 p.m. if she's going to bed. Actually, I think she says around 10 p.m. She has red lights in her house that she turns on, and then she has like the dimmer on her phone.
My stress and anxiety is heightened if I'm on my phone actively after 8 p.m.
Yeah.
But like 8 p.m. is when I start shutting down, and I can.
So she says that it's important for your circadian rhythm. You have to slow down. You can't just do like a marathon run and then go to bed. You have to slow down.
Yeah, because so that's what like the biggest thing in treatment is like. I'm the guy that can stay awake thinking about all the things that I need to do, all the stresses.
That's how I am.
Yeah, but so. But you
fall. I don't get good sleep.
Right. Well, maybe, you know, like it's work on it or things like that.
I would love to.
Yeah.
Come on, Stacey.
Work on
like,
it.
Something for you to work on. But that's fine. There's things I need to work on too. Like I'd really like to get rid of,
sleeping pills.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I don't take like sleeping pill like narcotics.
What do you take?
For the longest time, I've taken 2 Tylenol PM. And 10 to 20 milligrams of melatonin. Okay. And I understand that isn't good in and of itself. But again, I'm not there yet mentally. So 3 nights ago, I didn't take anything. And I was just like brain fucking racing. And I was like, I hate this feeling.
Yeah, I hate that
feeling. And I have a lot of mental control. But that's a fucking hard one.
To slow down, yep.
Mm-hmm.
I use Benadryl every now and then. I'll take
Benadryl. That's what
Tylenol PM is. Yeah. It's just acetaminophen and Benadryl. Yeah. Benadryl. Yeah. So I'd like to kick that someday. I do take half as much as I used to because I can't.
So
I can't sleep. So I take 1 Tylenol PM, 10 milligrams melatonin because I can't sleep as deeply. I need to be able to
melatonin
hear the boys
is fine.
And things like that. Yeah.
But the,
and so is the, you know, the Tylenol PM isn't a fucking narcotic sleep aid.
Every day for years and years.
Right. So, yeah, right. You know,
nothing's good like that.
Yeah. So
to
here,
where you're
like,
dependent
I need
upon it.
I need to kick tobacco and sleeping pills, but I'm just not there mentally yet. It's not safe yet. And so actually, you know, I've had conversations with people about this over the years and it happened fucking 2 days ago. I actually went into GNC. I go into a GNC like once every 2 years. Again, if you're one of the good GNC employees, cool. But fuck, man, are so many of them just like dumb and annoying as fuck. And I had some, you know, this dude, he was like 210 pounds of chewed bubble gum. And I was like, I'm just looking for some melatonin. And he was like, how long have you been taking melatonin? I was like, 16 years. He's like, you don't come off. He's like, if you regularly take melatonin, it'll fucking reduce your body's natural melatonin levels. And I was like, all right, well,
I still want to buy some.
Are you going to cancel this product? He's like, no. I was like, well, then I don't need fucking natural melatonin if I'm just pumping it in there, right? He's like, well, I guess you got a point. I was like, I'll tell you what, man. You know, like I've had this conversation with people. I know the Tylenol PM and melatonin, but it fucking, I would rather take that and whatever. Maybe possibly negative side effects will come along. It's worth it to me to fucking sleep 6 to 8 hours a night because it's so important for my, not just we're talking about muscle benefits and fat loss and things, but like my mental health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My mental health. If I can, you know, so I slept like fucking 3.5 shitty hours the other night when I didn't take any of my, I didn't take any Tylenol, PM or melatonin. Yeah.
And how was your day?
It was, I got through it.
Right.
But I got through it knowing that I was fucked.
Right.
You know, I got up, I was like, I'm fucked. But it's like, so we're going to get through this day and I'm fucked. And it was like, it was Monday night. I was like, I have to sleep tonight. I have to just full fucking sleep. And I slept like 8 hours. Cause like, dude, you know, it's like, oh shit, why am I depressed? Why am I being so negative? Am I doing something wrong in my life? Is something wrong with me and Stacey? Is something wrong with me and Owen? No. I didn't get enough sleep last night. That's it. And being able to recognize that and not project it into other areas of your life is huge.
Yep.
Another thing they taught me in treatment.
Yep.
Sometimes you just didn't get enough sleep or you didn't get good sleep. Mm-hmm. Like that's your only problem, you know?
I think it's funny how much that's overlooked, like how much sleep plays into it to
well,
all
we're not,
kinds of
but
stuff.
It's like mm-hmm. the, you know, the human tendency is to cast blame on other things or people outside yourself. And it's, right. not, it's not a big deal. Like, yeah. and we can't always get the perfect or optimal night's sleep.
Yeah.
But nope. we can this get a relatively decent level.
Right.
6 hours is not asking too much, yeah. you know? And if when you I care was, about it, sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, if you care about it, you can definitely get that sleep. And it's important. You should care. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, the physical benefits and the mental health. And I think we've done an episode about depression.
Mm-hmm.
Sleep is a huge part of my mental health coping mechanism.
Yeah.
You know?
I remember going through a bunch of sleep classes after I got blown up and wasn't sleeping and was on all kinds of pain meds and stuff like that. Oh, yeah. But there were actual I remember I got signed up for it. They're like, hey, you're going to this starting tomorrow. And I was like, man, there's classes to teach you how to sleep. What the fuck?
Yeah.
But there are. Yeah. Weird. And it helped.
Yeah.
It helped a lot.
What were you going to say? Sorry.
It just also plays a role in digestion and as far as that whole system works too. So another podcast with Dr. Rhonda Patrick, she talks too about how that really plays a part in a lot of shift workers and their schedule too. And they just generally are overweight and
overstressed. It's like our friends who you're married with kids and one of you has a day job and one of you has a night job.
Yeah.
And when those friends tell me they're like, oh, things aren't good at home. I'm like, yeah. But you guys aren't bad people. Yeah. You have the wrong schedules.
All of us are on shift work and it depends how long it is, but it's always, you know, between 6 and 8 weeks long. And then you switch to a different shift and a different shift. And then nurses and doctors are every couple days on a different shift.
Oh, yikes.
That sleep is not good.
So you never actually adjust to whatever you're
on. These people's jobs mean a lot.
Cops, military, medical, firefighter, people. If you volunteer for one of those, we did it in the Army.
Totally.
We volunteered to suffer that for what we're doing.
Just part of
the job. But in regular, if you don't have, and a majority of people don't have a job like that or a schedule like that, but still suffer poor sleep, you know? And that's interesting that I didn't know that it helps with digestion, but it makes sense that it helps with fucking everything.
So
it's your body. It's real rest.
Yeah.
Real true rest.
It's been studied.
Your body's working like a motherfucker when you're sleeping. You're not doing nothing. People see it unproductive. You're sleeping unproductive.
Yeah.
Like, no, your body is doing a fuck ton of shit right now. Releasing growth hormone, bone repair, muscle repair, clearing your mind, you know, is this a memory or are we discarding that? You know, all sorts of shit is going on while we're sleeping.
Right.
And we need that to be happy and healthy. So it's fucking weird that we don't care more. Yeah. It's like, so one of the big things is at 8 o'clock or, you know, the common saying, it's like, don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today. Mm-hmm. Like, fuck that. When it's 8 o'clock, don't do today what I can do tomorrow. I don't even think about it. I can't. I have to stop thinking.
There's always going to be something there tomorrow waiting for you. So,
or more you could do that night where it's like, nope, I'm in my go to sleep process. And I like to do things they need to put Friends back on Netflix. I don't lay in bed from 8 to, I don't get in bed until 9:45, but I start my get ready for sleep process at about 8. And I like to listen to calmer music, or I've started listening to podcasts.
You're not supposed to do anything in bed except for sleep.
So there's some rules like that that I, that's, you know, they say don't fall to sleep with a TV, but I only sleep. I have to drown out the ringing in my ear and I have to distract my brain. I hijack my brain from running off.
So that's your white noise because Derek has seen Friends 86,000 times. Mm-hmm.
That's how I am with Entourage.
Oh,
yeah. Entourage, The Office. But
that's how I am with Forensic Files.
I like to do the dishes or fold some laundry. I cook another meal about 9 o'clock every night.
Kind of like mindless tasks, mm-hmm. it seems like.
Yeah, but okay. It's like, so they're mindless, but it's also like, they make me feel good. Like when you do stuff around your house,
yeah,
that's what it is, you know? And then I eat at night. Because fuck going to bed on an empty stomach. Fuck that. And it's like, people are like, oh, I'm on a diet. I can't eat before bed because I'll get fat. No, it's just not true.
That goes back to that time-restricted feeding.
It's just not true.
Yeah, it's not. It's
just not true.
Yeah. In fact, some people do carb backloading too, where they'll eat everything right before bed and they like tend to lose weight. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the science is not there for that.
It's interesting. Yeah. But, my sleep routine, I'm so protective of it and I can overcome deviations. I just really, if I don't sleep well, I know I'm going to be stressed out the next day and maybe I'll have to tell people that, you know, like I'm running manic today. Mm-hmm. And it's not because of anything. It's just, yeah. I need sleep and I'll get through my day. I'm not like this pussy. It's like, oh, I didn't sleep good, so I'm just going to stay in my house and be miserable. It's like, no, we get our shit done, but being protective about sleep.
Yeah.
One quick thing. We'll move on and talk about water, but a mm-hmm. big fucking, a huge thing. If I'm in bed, I'm trying to go to sleep and my mind's going a million miles an hour. It's funny when you catch yourself and you're like, holy shit, I'm flexing.
Tense.
I thought I was laying, but I'm flexing. Yeah. There's do you ever do belly breaths?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So belly breaths, two belly breaths. It's amazing how many people don't know about belly breaths.
We do them in yoga.
Yeah. So before you sleep. Feel so your there's belly. There's two little tricks here. Just a belly breath is like in through your nose and really
expand,
really get that air in your
belly,
stomach,
yeah,
and then release and then do that again.
You can feel your belly mm-hmm. inflating,
blow up.
Yeah. That's a belly breath.
And so that just fucking relaxes you.
Yeah.
Relaxes you. And then actively, so do those belly breaths. And then from there, just try to clear your mind. And it's like visualization. Yeah. It's like, yes. I often picture myself at a lake. And like I've been doing the meditating, the calm thing.
Yeah.
So they tell you to focus on something.
Yep.
I can't focus on my body.
On your breath.
I focus on the sound of the water.
Yeah.
And so now I can hear that in my head. And so belly breaths, if you catch yourself, your mind's racing in bed, do some belly breaths. I do two. And that seems to work for me all the time. And I'll sit there for a fucking idiot. I'm not perfect at this. I'll lay there for 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. Mind racing and then be like, oh shit, dumbass, hit some belly breaths. Yeah. And then a really cool trick I actually learned from a woman while I was at Walter Reed Army Hospital there, mm-hmm. you know, I was having trouble with everything, you know? So it's like you do a belly breath with your eyes closed. And as you're breathing in, you roll your eyes to the top of your head. And then as you breathe out, you slowly bring your eyes back down and you think about your whole body getting lighter from head to toe. It's a really fucking weird sensation. It works.
So we did that
super cool.
Similarly in a class, not the eye thing, but we would from head to toe tense our, you know, we would crinkle our foreheads and then we would relax and then move down to like neck, flex your neck, relax. So you would tense muscle groups and then let them relax all the way down. And you generally, I didn't get all the way down to my toes because I would probably be asleep by then. Mm-hmm. So you're tensing actively and then you're releasing. So you can feel the release after the tension.
Yeah.
That works.
When I was in that, it's funny how these things work. When I was in that inpatient psychiatric program, every morning we would do some sort of guided meditation type thing. In the first few days, I was like, this is fucking dumb. This is a waste of my fucking time. Why the fuck am I here? But every time I'd fall right the fuck asleep because that's what it was. It's supposed to relax. And I was like, holy shit.
Okay, holy fine. It works.
Shit. This shit fucking works.
I feel like as Americans, we are just tense people. Mm-hmm. We really are. It's like, go, go, go. Well, it's busy.
So funny when you start a meditation, you know, Owen, are you still doing it?
I'm not doing it as frequently as was. He had some interesting ones.
It's necessary for a while.
Yeah.
But it's just like, you know, application without constant calculation.
Right.
You know, you can't be in treatment forever. Like meditation is cool to do and learn, but it's so funny when you go into a meditation, you're like, all right, I'm nice and relaxed. And then like 90 seconds in, they're like, all right, now relax the muscles in your face. And you're like, oh shit, I've been sitting here fucking flexing the whole goddamn time. You think you're relaxed, but you're not.
I think that's why I get migraines.
Yeah, honestly. I mean, your headaches, you should look into those because it's really...
Belly breaths help me, actually.
Really?
That is something that does help me.
It's fucking weird how sleeping benefits our body, breathing benefits our body.
Yeah.
Let's talk about water. Mm. Water is a funny fucking thing.
Interesting.
Mm. Water, hydration. This one, I don't... So I only drink water. And I put Crystal Light in my water.
Okay.
If the maltodextrin and Crystal Light is the thing that takes me out...
It might be.
All right.
I've tried to get him on my liquid IV. But
I've heard about that.
So good.
I've been on the Crystal Light for fucking 12 years.
On the Crystal?
Yeah. Yeah. I've been on the Crystal.
What, you mean like meth? No, man. Crystal Light.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but it just fucking blows me. Like, I don't do energy drinks. I don't do pop. Don't do Gatorade. It surprises me how much people drink that's not water. I don't understand it.
It's
water.
Like we eat Twinkies and stuff,
right?
Too,
but like so. You know, so my thing is like, if there's something important to do for your body, it's drink water. I mean, and it, like, what do we look for when we look for life on another planet? What's the one thing we're fucking looking for?
Water.
That's how fucking important.
Is there a water source?
Water is to life. Yeah. You know, without water, as far as we know, there's not life. You know, and especially like so, our bodies. You know, your hydration level plays a role in your fucking mood.
Yep.
Sometimes you'll be crabby or irritable, and you think it's because your wife or husband did something, or you think it's because it's a work thing. No, you're fucking dehydrated. That's why you're irritable, you know, and you could handle these situations better if you were fucking hydrated. And it seems like a no brainer, but you fucking ask 10 people and 7 of them are going to say, I don't drink enough water. So do you have any, how much water do you drink a day?
I would say like 2 of these 32 ounce Nalgenes. That I'm strictly taking in like solely water from. Right. But of course, like there's water in our food. Like what are you talking?
No, I mean like just drinking water.
I would say 2 of these.
So that's 64 ounces.
Yeah. And I know you're supposed to drink your weight in ounces.
There's like general rule of thumb.
Really?
I think so.
How much water are you
especially
drinking
during
a day?
The summer?
Mr. Kidney Stones. That, yeah. So yeah. I'm probably getting like...
I'm pretty sure you're supposed to drink your weight in ounces.
I'm probably getting...
Or is it half your weight?
It can't be your whole weight.
Let me
That's
look.
Insane.
Maybe it's half your weight.
And no, I get between probably like 200 and 300 ounces of water a day.
Really?
Yeah. So my trick is, or one of my tricks is these, I get these 50 ounce water bottles.
Yeah.
And I'll either get these or I have a bunch of, Nalgene has 50 ounce water bottles, 3 a day. And that's how I know if I'm getting my water in. You know,
okay.
I drink 3 of these a day. So that's 150 ounces. If you add on top of like my pre-workout, intra-workout, and post-workout, that's another 50 to 100 ounces right there.
Okay.
Typically. So about, I would say on average, 250 ounces of water a day. And if I drop below that, I feel it.
We need a conversion. It says straight from Mayo Clinic, for the average adult who lives in a temperate climate, men need approximately 15.5 cups a day or 3.7 liters. And then women need about 11.5 cups or 2.7 liters. So I would say I get that.
So 50 ounces is 1.5 liters.
That was not a reaction to that being a lot. That was a reaction to me realizing there's zero chance of me figuring out that math problem.
Oh, yeah. I'm like trying to think how many ounces are in a cup. Okay. How do I? Yeah.
Yeah.
No, man, no so. I, Go ahead.
So I already drink a shit ton of water, but now we're in the fucking Las Vegas summer.
Oh yeah.
It's not enough.
No.
With my output. So it depends on your output and things like that, but you should have a high output because like we believe in exercise around here, you know, you're sweating and things like that.
So this was one of the most interesting things that Christy speaks about in her book was hydration, because I feel like especially in the military, we literally had breaks that were hydration breaks.
Oh yeah.
During training.
You would be very proud of what color your pee was.
Exactly. Hydrate or die.
Oh my God. Right. Every single stall has a color chart. Yeah.
But now there's things that say the color of your pee don't determine your fucking, whether you're hydrated or not.
I don't believe that.
I do.
I mean, there's like it's affected by what you drink.
But
stuff.
Just because you're hydrated doesn't mean you're healthy. That's right. what I think. Yeah. So just because your pee is literally see-through clear doesn't mean that you're necessarily going to be okay today.
Yeah. And I also think like clear pee can signal a lack of sodium or something. I don't know. But it's just like there's all these things about it. It was like drink more fucking water.
So, hey, you just talked about it. Sodium. So that's salt, which is electrolytes. So you're losing a lot of salts when you have a high output. So if you're working out a lot, if you're rucking a lot, like we had hydration breaks all the time, but they were almost always water. But water isn't doing a whole lot for you if you're losing a shit ton of electrolytes. What you need is Gatorade or some sort of electrolyte, you know, replacement. Well,
there's electrolytes right here.
What was that shit we had to drink in airborne school?
Yeah, the sodium packet things. It was just like that you put in your fucking canteen.
So there,
what was that called?
There's like electrolytes in the liquid IV that I have. So that's why I really like the liquid IV. But that's the difference, I think, when we're talking about hydration is water versus another source. But now when you talk about that, then you're getting into, what are the added sugars in Gatorade, Powerade, Scoobity-Bop? You know, so that's the difference there.
Yeah, but I don't consider, you know, a Gatorade to me is a treat. Right. Or so I drink that shit when I'm sick. Cause you know, but what it, like I drink water to hydrate, you know, and it's funny, like, so hydration also plays a role in pain management. Being hydrated like keeps your joints lubricated, and when you're fucking dry you're tight, you know. Yep. So it's like there's obvious positive benefits to when you're hydrated, like you know, water is the thing that carries nutrients to your cells and gives your cells energy, and then water makes, like, we're working off electricity here,
right?
It's a fucking good conductor for that,
right?
You know, so we perform better, we feel better, but people aren't drinking enough water.
But careful with that. So this is what she talks about in her book, Good to Go, is she went back and looked study after study, report after report, because you hear, you know, so-and-so football player he just flopped over dead on the field. Oh, dehydration was a factor, blah, blah, blah. Okay, that's the key word. It was a factor.
Right.
It was not the one thing that killed him.
Somebody
she
dies
said
of leukemia
she
but goes down
never,
as COVID-19.
Right. Yes, yeah. she did not find, swear to God, a single report.
And dehydration was a factor.
Yeah. She did not find a single report where dehydration was the only factor for someone's death. So she says, in fact, drinking too much water, there are multiple reports on people drinking too much water and not being the sole reason why they've died.
Yep.
So it's called dry drowning.
Yeah, that happened to a guy the first time I went through base training in the 90s. Like, because they used to force hydrate us.
Exactly. They still do.
Not the same way. Like we used to sit there and have to pound fucking canteens in front of them.
Seer school, everything for sure. They were like, drink, 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 drink.
Yeah.
And now I'm like,
die.
Oh my God. Yes.
Yep. So it's called drowning.
But that's got to be so fucking, okay. So that's one of the things.
It is difficult.
However, so fucking rare that it shouldn't be brought up. When I'm talking to a person, when I'm talking to people, most of them aren't drinking enough water.
Yes.
And their question is, well, what if I drink too much? I was how about you start drinking the appropriate fucking amount?
Yeah.
Right.
And then we'll worry about too much. It's like women who are like, you know, I would work out, but I get too fucking, I don't want to get too muscular too fast.
That's exactly how I feel.
I go from zero to a,
I don't want
to
get too, that's why I'm only
like
running.
Oh, yeah. I was like, I don't want to lift weights because I'll get too muscular.
I don't want to get too bulky. Yeah.
I understand your logic and your thinking. However, I wanted to bring that point up because it is something that's talked about. And Yeah. So she says that you can generally listen to your body as far as that goes. If your body is telling you you're thirsty, you need water. You don't need soda. You don't need alcohol. You need water. So literally, are you thirsty right now? Okay, drink water. Mm-hmm. And you should be fine with that. And that's actually what Mayo Clinic just said on their same website.
So, you know, we're talking about this. I think I think I strained my groin mm-hmm. because of my groin.
Okay.
Say it again.
I thought you said growing.
Growing. Okay. Was that, is that the Minnesota accent?
I don't know. I really actually didn't know
what
I was saying.
I think I did it because I fucking let my myself get dehydrated the day before. And that, so like I talked about the shitty night of sleep I had two nights ago. I was, that was a Sunday night. And so Monday was rough. Monday evening at about 8 o'clock, I felt like I was going to fucking throw up.
So Sunday, you didn't hydrate enough. If you're talking about that's happening on Monday, because hydration's like the night before is like when you're hydrated for the day.
That's another important thing. Like what you drink today determines your tomorrow.
Totally.
Has nothing to do with today.
No. Like, you just won't fucking be thirsty today.
You're setting yourself up. But right. I felt sick, dude. Or like I couldn't focus. I was getting dizzy. And I felt like I was going to throw up. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? I was like, shit, I think I let myself get dehydrated.
Yeah.
Because like,
temperature really spiked too around the weekend.
Oh,
but,
yes.
But like, so here's the, you know, I'm human. We released My Foodlosophy.
Yep.
Stress and anxiety through the roof.
Yep.
Busy as fuck. Instead of like, so I chew tobacco.
Yep.
And that helps me maintain or manage my stress and things like that, which is an unhealthy, but it's like, I'll take care of that when I fucking, one thing at a time.
It's better than heroin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But so I have to, sometimes I'll be like, hey, you can have a chew after you finish this bottle of water. But sometimes I just go. And I went and I let myself get dehydrated. I was like, fuck. And I was like, I'm not sick. I let myself get dehydrated. Shit. You know? Yeah. And then it makes sense that I got a little bit injured the next day. My fucking, I pounded water, but it takes time.
Yeah.
It takes time. You know, that's why I like watching these shows. You and I have been watching that Alone.
Ooh, I like
If
Alone.
You want to see the fucking effects
of
malnourishment and dehydration.
The guy getting cramps.
Watch Naked and Afraid. Watch Alone. Yes. Watch these survival. If you want to,
their face, pain.
Yeah.
Level,
if you need to know how important good health, hydration, and fitness is, or if you can learn a lot about the body by watching those shows too, because those motherfuckers know survivalists have to know
intake mm-hmm. and then like this amount of work. If I start hacking this tree down, it's going to take this many calories out of my body, which means I can't do that much work later. All of that stuff. Yeah, that is.
And the guy kills a moose. He's like, hey, this is good. This is a lot of food, but it's a lot of calories
exactly
to get it.
Yes. You know? I spent a lot to get this.
Yes, yeah. True.
And that's, and we, I, you know, we mentioned like lions resting, like it takes, lions are super protective of when and how and who they fucking hunt because they have like a 10% success rate.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so they have to be careful about it because they're burning calories. They're burning calories.
I think I'm going to let calories. That buffalo walk away.
And so how nice do we have it? We burn calories existing.
We're becoming cows grazing in the field.
When we're talking about fitness, we're like willingly burning calories, using calories to improve our health and fitness. Like what a luxury we have as humans to just like, make this choice. It's not a survival thing. It's not a survival game. We're just doing this to be better, not stay alive, you know? So it's like, let's do it right. If you're putting the time and effort into exercising, put time and effort into giving a fuck about your sleep. And it doesn't take long to figure out how to keep yourself hydrated. And once you fucking learn it, and once you learn tricks, you're good to go. Like me, like my 3 50-ounce bottles of water.
It works for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And I don't have to think about it. It's just, it's part of my routine. It's part of my routine. And that's just, and sometimes I fuck up like I did a couple of days ago. And I'm pretty sure that's why I like felt dizzy. That's like, I wonder if it has something to do with your headaches sometimes, or a contributing,
yeah. You know, hydration or sleep.
Stacey,
mostly hydration, I think.
Yeah, she gets headaches, like work, especially when she works out. Heavily, and like, so we talked about scaling back her workout. If she works out hard,
you get migraines.
I get both.
Plays a role in your migraines because you don't get enough water.
No.
Yeah.
You know, actually, so I get migraines, I would say once every 3-4 weeks now.
Okay.
But what does help me is the belly breathing. I'll chug water. And just 2-3 weeks ago, my PCM gave me a prescription, which is not a prescription, but to melatonin. So she has me on 5 milligrams a night right now. I asked her the science behind it. She didn't know, but she thinks it has something to do with inflammation. So melatonin could decrease inflammation, which then would... which doesn't make sense to me actually now thinking about that. See, but anyway,
so when you start getting a headache, you start chugging water, but at that point it's already too late.
Oh, that's why, it's way too late.
Is a proactive measure.
Yeah.
And like, again, like I don't fuck up often, but I do fuck up. And there's a time where your life is go.
Yes.
And you can't, and then you have to rely on, you know, your intestinal fortitude to get you through something. You don't just lay down and fucking die.
Yeah.
We're talking about doing our best to set ourselves up for success.
Right.
So,
you
know,
and I wonder how much you probably need to double your water intake. I would imagine.
I'd say at least. Yeah.
Yeah. If you tried something, it's like, you know, buying the bottles of water every day is kind of silly, but it also helps me.
I think I do like probably, and this is way on the less side. How big is a shaker bottle?
22 ounces.
Yeah, so I'd probably do 2 of those a day.
Dude.
Plus however many Gatorades I have, because I'll have like a Gatorade. See, dude, like,
and so actually when I was in high school,
I typically water down my Gatorade. I like them watered down too. Yeah.
We did a experiment where and I don't know how true it is. I don't know how good Gatorade and Powerade are at hydrating you long term.
They're delicious.
Well, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to fucking, you know, you drinking things just for taste, or are you trying to fuel your body?
Well, so Gatorade was developed by the University of Florida, which is why it's called Gatorade.
I listened to this recently.
Yeah, and it's so it was developed specifically to rehydrate their football players who were out there in the crazy humidity. Mm-hmm. So I trust that there's science behind it. Now, whether or not they have over the time swapped out ingredients for like
maybe Gatorade during,
it's the salts and the sugar.
It's a quick. It's like a supplement.
It's their compound.
It's like a supplement, but you have to have the baseline of water. You got to fucking drink your water. Totally. Water.
Yeah.
Have your Gatorade, but drink your fucking water. You know, it makes sense that it would make you feel.
Yeah.
So much better.
So I think another interesting thing that she brings up in her book, Good to Go, is that sport a lot of times literally comes down to like mere seconds. Like if you're competing against whoever it is, you win because you beat this person by seconds. Mm-hmm. And it's such a small amount of time. So if you think about all of the things that you could be doing to get a little bit better, a little bit better, a little bit better, those little things count. Mm-hmm. Sport is so dependent on all these little things.
You know, and it's not a boast or brag or something like that, but that's what separates me from my peers. Like we're all in the gym.
Yeah.
But what are you doing outside of the gym?
Exactly.
And I really put, as I get older and smarter and better, I put more emphasis on what I'm doing outside of the gym. And it's been a learning experience with the kids and the businesses.
Oh
yeah. That was, it's like if you work out, Oh, that stinks, dude. So let's say the average person works out for 90 minutes.
Okay.
And their drive to and from the gym is 2 hours. That's 2 out of 24 hours. What are you doing for the rest of that 22 hours?
Yeah.
And it's all, these things take time, like you learn about how to sleep, but then you just fucking sleep and you go back to the things you've learned in times of struggle. You learn how to hydrate and you develop routines and then it's just second nature and stuff like that. Put some time and effort into your recovery, because it's going to help you. These are like, it's just like we said, just to, you know, just to drive it home. Sleeping is something you can actively give a shit about that'll help you mm-hmm. accomplish your goal. It's not a fucking waste of time. You're not doing nothing. Your body is doing a shit ton of things. It's you're building muscle. You're fucking burning fat. You're releasing chemicals. You're rebooting your brain.
And the best thing is it's free.
And it feels so fucking good.
It does not cost $600 for mm-hmm. a Theragun.
Well, hey, every little thing counts.
Well, that's what I'm saying too, though. But the sleep part is free. But if you're doing all these extra things too, mm-hmm. hey, that's another little leg up.
Yeah.
Pun intended. Well,
that's a
Derek,
funny thing. Yeah.
on the other person. Yeah. Like, it just is.
Well, that's what's funny is like people, a lot of people will be like, well, I use this cream. Mm-hmm. I use this supplement. It's like, well, do you have your sleep and water down yet?
Mm-hmm. Right.
How about your food? Like, do you have the foundation set?
Basic and human then once necessities. You get,
so that's what like separating me from peers. I have the foundation and then adding the little things, these nice things, mm-hmm. salt baths, Theragun, massage. I can do that because I've got nutrition, sleep, hydration.
It's your bedrock.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you just continue to add. And that's what makes you better and better and better. But don't use fucking, if you're going to use like a CBD balm to treat pain, before you do that, be like, hey, am I sleeping?
How much water am I drinking?
Am I hydrated?
Yeah.
Because these are the real underlying fucking things. And if the answer is yes, you're good at sleep, you're good on water, you're good on food, go ahead. Keep adding to your fucking your recovery toolbox, you know? Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But so that's a lot about recovery. It's fucking recovery's important and it's amazing. A lot of these things feel good.
Yeah. It's arguably the most important.
Yeah. Think banana hammock.
Oh, hey. It's code. It's code for if you like this podcast and you like want to support it, you can do so by going to DerekWhita.com and checking out our workout plans, our training programs. We got $15 shirts up on there. All the shirts are $15.
All t-shirts, $15.
That's it.
So with shipping, $22.
It's $22.
That's a good price range.
Dude, and they're awesome shirts. I get
so fucked up on this because it's like our shirt quality, the t-shirt quality is so nice. It could be a $30 t-shirt. When I buy 100%. T-shirts from people that I like on the internet, I spend $33 a shirt.
I do.
And then I get them. I'm like, fuck, our quality is nicer than this.
Yeah.
And it's half the price.
It's half the price.
Are we selling ourselves short? Yeah, but we're doing the right thing.
We're doing it because
our training programs are fucking cheap as shit.
Yep.
But we're doing the right thing. All training programs on DerekWhita.com are $20.
Yeah.
Except the White Away is more expensive because that's a lifelong program.
And, well, they're not that much because they're 20% off if you use code Saturday for being a listener of the podcast.
Savage Saturdays.
Yeah. Saturday. Code Saturday.
At checkout. Type it in there. 20% off of training programs and food philosophy, not t-shirts because t-shirts are $15.
There's no margin.
There's not. Yeah, we're selling as cheap as we can.
Margins are funny. So like the shirt is $15. That means we make about $6 a shirt that we split between like three people.
Yeah.
So
I make a buck a shirt.
But it's the right price for a t-shirt.
It's what I want to pay for a t-shirt. Yeah. I don't want to pay $30.
That's why
we did it.
That's why I made that decision because it's like. I looked at it and I was like, I don't pay this much. Well, I do, but I don't like it. And I don't do it often.
Nope.
You know, once or twice a year, if somebody really hashtag influences me. Mm. Yeah. I was talking to Josh.
I was talking
to Josh Bridges today. Mm. And I said,
his coffee shows up today.
Oh, really?
It does.
So we got more coming.
Yeah.
I accepted an offer from Josh Bridges.
Oh, dear.
I told him,
good luck.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I'd compete against him in like a bench press competition, I think. Maybe that's the one area. But I don't know. But
he's a savage.
Yeah. I told him straight up and I used your words and I was like, dude, we got fucking hashtag influenced by your fucking influential ass. They got themselves a coffee company, Good Dudes. Good Dudes Coffee Company.
Okay.
And you know us. We're like Black Rifle Coffee.
That's it.
We're friends with the guys and stuff like that.
Just
but I just
Black,
but I, it's like Josh Bridges, Rich Froning, and I think Dan Bailey.
Uh huh.
And it's Good Dudes Coffee. I like these fucking guys, yeah, especially like
they're
I,
good dudes.
I chat, like, I chat, really I get are. To chat. Like, and I feel I feel privileged to be able to chat with these guys because they're people I look up to, like Dan Bailey, Josh Bridges. I've never talked to Rich Froning, but he's Rich Froning. And to be honest, I think I like Josh and Dan more. If there's a hierarchy of my love,
highly functioning athletes.
It's like, you know, if I got 10 love points, it's 4-4-3.
Are they on your DNR?
Yeah.
Josh Bridges might be on your DNR.
It's the right height for me.
I bet Bert Coots. Is Bert? Bert's probably on your DNR too.
You know, me and Tom Brady just can't work. He's too tall. But
oh god,
we just can't work. But
he's a Buccaneer now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, we got he offered to send some stuff, and I was like, man, we usually say no, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hashtag influenced.
We hashtag love you.
Yeah, got influenced.
You're on my DNR.
Yeah. That's going to do it for this week's show. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you learned a couple things. Hope you start to sleep better.
Ooh, and recover.
Hope you fucking get hydrated and feel good. Burn fat, build muscle. Be a nice person.
Yeah, be kind.
These are things that are good for your mood too. Recovery.
Yep.
It's funny how much we can accomplish when we give a shit about our body.
That is true.
You know. Yeah, we're so busy worrying about
other
job and making money and other people's problems in the world. When we feel so much better.
Three foot circle.
Go ahead and be a little selfish and give a shit about yourself. You'll be happier for it. As always, love you guys. Cheers.